people get seated, I've put this the name tags facing the other way so they could get some idea if they don't remember where they were. But you might just glance, and if anybody hasn't turned it around for the cameras,
I'll be
at my other meeting this morning, then I'll come back this afternoon.
Okay, I was thinking, Caleb, in fact, I decided that we've had pretty much enough general discussion, and I'm getting a little tired of it. And I thought instead of Rob.
I was easy to talk to Marie yesterday about it. She said she was going to be here.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't really mind starting at 9:30. I think everybody enjoys milling around a bit. And,
right.
Okay.
What's that for?
Well. I think it's for the blanket, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm just a little lost to know exactly what Austin Hammond has in mind, but that adds to the... here we are. Well, maybe we could take our seats and begin this morning. What I thought, No, this has added some class to the, let me welcome you all again this morning. Let me remind you to sign in with Joyce Johnson at the entrance to the room when you're coming in or leaving, just so that we have a complete register. And those sitting opposite me, maybe you'd turn your name cards around so they face me, so that the cameras can pick up your name card when they show you speaking. I want to welcome one or two who have arrived today: Weaver Ivanov from Unalakleet and Victor Matander of the Council of Yukon Indians. I have in mind altering our agenda this morning, and perhaps you would indulge me for a minute or two while I explain that, because I think it will be more useful to me and I hope to you. The Alaska Native Review Commission is looking into ANCSA, and as I said yesterday, that entails, in my view, an examination of subsistence, not only because ANCSA extinguished Aboriginal rights of hunting and fishing, but also because ANCSA deals with land ownership, and it seems to me that land ownership, land use, and subsistence are all linked. Now, yesterday we had a general discussion of basic issues, and it was a good discussion, but I would like very soon to bring it to an end and go on to some specific issues. But might I attempt in a minute or two to summarize what was said yesterday? Gary Holthaus urged that subsistence was something that it was up to the native people to decide whether they wished to continue with, and he suggested that it was a matter of will on their part. Did they have the will to continue with a subsistence way of life? I think that Gary will be returning Saturday, and we can discuss his views at greater length with him then. But my own feeling is that, having been to 40 villages over the last 8 months and listened to 800 native witnesses, I think there is a determination out there to see that subsistence and the villages that depend on it survive. Tom Lawner suggested that given the present laws and regulations, given the present legal system, Marie, please come and take your seat, and why don't both of you sit together over here, because Caleb will be away this morning. Tom Lawner suggested that the present laws and regulations are not calculated to enhance or enlarge subsistence, but that their inevitable result will be to diminish it. And Austin Hammond and Caleb Pingawi and many others gave examples of the ways in which the laws and regulations have diminished subsistence. Mr. Benke and Ms. Spengler pointed out that the state subsistence law is just being implemented, and it may be too soon to pass judgment on its on how it's going to work. Don Mitchell said many things, but those that stick out in my mind are these. He said that the law has protected native access to fish and game, but where it has failed lamentably is that it has not restricted access by other users. It has failed to limit access to fish and game by other users, and he feels that is the crux of the problem. He said he didn't have any answers. Tom Lawner suggested that local control was the answer. In the travels I've made around the state, a lot of answers have been put forward. The very last village meeting I held was in Unalakleet last Friday and Saturday, and I only mention it by way of example, but the people there, not only from Unalakleet but from surrounding villages, spoke of strengthening their IRA councils and turning over management of subsistence to their IRA councils. And while I was there, some of them spoke about establishing a regional IRA council for that purpose. I mention that because it shows that people out there want to do something. They think that they can handle this problem themselves, and it may be that in the end, it's what those people decide to do for themselves that is more important than all the theorizing lawmaking. Perhaps not, but it seems to me a hopeful sign when people want to do things by themselves and for themselves. Tony Vasca and Harold Spark told us about the way in which the people in Southwest Alaska have taken measures themselves to limit the taking of birds by users in California, and that I think we all agree was a remarkable example of people at the local level deciding to do something and going out and doing it for themselves and preserving the migratory birds, their habitat, and limiting the kill. Now, having said that, what I thought we would do today is this. We had originally thought we would have more general discussion of harvesting and land management today, but I decided last night that I had been exposed to enough deep thinking for one day, and I thought that we would be better off today if we turned to Alaska Natives and people from Canada and said, what are you doing about this? And I think out of a discussion of the things that they are doing, we will perhaps learn more than by continuing with a general discussion. And I, therefore, with your approval, I hope I have your approval, propose that today what we do is this, that we spend the first perhaps hour or so completing yesterday's discussion, and I propose to ask Mr. Austin Hammond to say a few words, and then to see if any others wish to respond to Gary Holtas, Tom Lawner, and Don Mitchell. But by about 10:15 or 10:30, I hope we can then start to talk about the Alaska Eskimo Whaling Commission, and I hope that Marie Adams and Mr. Rexford will lead the discussion about the Whaling Commission. I hope that we can move on from the Whaling Commission to the International Porcupine Caribou Commission, and that Mr. Jonathan Solomons will lead that discussion. And then I thought that that would bring us this afternoon, or sometime this afternoon, logically to call on our friends from the Council of Yukon Indians to talk about their land claims negotiations. They are, of course, users of the porcupine caribou herd, too. And then to ask the people from COPE. Now, they were not able to come, but the government negotiators are here, and they are willing to talk to us about the COPE subsistence provisions. And indeed, extracts from the COPE settlement are on your table. And we also thought we would ask the Mr. Spaulding, the lawyer for the Dene Métis, to talk about what they are trying to achieve in subsistence in their negotiations in Canada. And then I thought on Friday we would talk about the Eskimo Walrus Commission, and Caleb Pungawi had to be away this morning, but he'll be back this afternoon and will be able to lead us tomorrow morning in that. Jim Kowalski is here from TCC, and I hope Jim will talk about what Tanana chiefs are doing in the matter of self-regulation and subsistence. And if the representatives of the Pribilofs and Nana arrive, we will hear from them as well. And I hope that Harvey Fight can tell us about James Bay in northern Quebec tomorrow, and that Dan Gross can talk about what is being done about subsistence in a number of third world countries. And I may have left some things out, but we can adjust and revise this agenda as we go along. That would still leave us Saturday to return to some of the underlying questions that were raised yesterday. So if I that's the way I would like to proceed, that would be more useful to me. And though I thought yesterday was useful, I think we will spend our time more effectively if we turn now to specific questions. But before we do that, I think we should conclude the discussion of the Lawner Holtas Mitchell views. And I was going to call on Mr. Austin Hammond, and two or three others had asked to say a few words before we move on to talk about the Whaling Commission. And Mr. Burton Rexford is with us, along with Marie Adams, for that purpose. And I'm glad that Mr. Rexford was able to join us today. And Austin Hammond will be speaking to us, and Sid Smith has asked to speak to say a few words. And I think Dan Gross might be willing to throw something into the pot as well. And any others who wish, over the next half hour or so, and then we'll move on to specific cases. Don Mitchell said he didn't know what the answer was. I don't know whether he was seeking to challenge us or not. Perhaps he does know the answer, but we'll leave it at that. He doesn't know the answer. Maybe the only answers are, what are people doing out there for themselves? And that's really what I'd like to hear about over the next couple of days. So, Mr. Hammond, will you have the floor, sir?
I like to stand close to that blanket. Before I start speaking to here, I wish the BLM are here. They write a letter to me. How long do you know Chilkoot? And how long do you stay? This is the reason why I bring it over, to show them how long we own Chilkoot. Before this year, before it made it, I asked Jennifer Knott, that's her grandma. So she told me, when I asked her, did you fix that? She says, no. My father's older sister fixed it. And she figured, 200 years old, that's how long we have it. And all the people came here from Setka, some Angoon, I call Angoon, and all over, to talk about why we own the places, to show it to you. Our people have a place in Setka, they call Kanest Shah, it's a cross. They own it. And Angoon, that flood, they call Fort, and ourselves we call New. And this one, in Chilkoot, I don't have it on. Since the flood, our people know the story. And a lot of people don't understand how we coming down from back. Since the flood, our people went on the other side. So our people walking down. Some Yakutat, some it came Taku, Stakin, all the way down the line. So this one here, it came from Chilkoot. And I have to talk Tlingit, and I wish you could understand me. And we've been trying to teach how to talk Tlingit in Haines. My grandchildren, the reason why I bring this here, when they sent a letter to me from here, from BLM, when I had the camp there for the children, and they asked me, how long did you know Chilkoot? So I wish you, that's in front of you, we had it, you could look at it when I'm talking Tlingit. Ha Tlingit Kosti ye. Yak adah go de aye. Yachis kut dach a history. You to a sock. Did kacho ye ha kawus goos history ye. A kayan hakej hakawo a. A yak yoksit an a kahan. A yado. Shukanach. Ha Tlingiti. Jikewuti. Did Kaj Kashid, Ohan Kotaskatushid, Yes, they are usually two. Ayaka de eighteen, Ah, they had a Kashakosigaya. Tested the two woods, Katasted Kakanikatu tank. Ajawa, Yarat Kaya woodi, Hayajine, Hatlingedejine, ye, Katusaku. Yata, skut taj kasni gaya. Achawaka Kai Sky Snake. Kai Hans. Tik Tok, Chachinka Tok. Chako dead Aikitik. You Katanke Kukadak. Ohan Ka. Chishugo. They hunted Tok. Hai Kauta Tani. A cut to a Nakhling get Hasati, yeah. Achawa. Ye at khati dot ye haji to tea or na ki ach chana to und kayat sis kayak not kayak uche to a sago ake na schit da kadat awo a jerka reiche hana sa renach to snea as uke kati to ya kutse to a sago da tu art. Hasawa, ach ishas chawasati yakut. A joke a rech, you a hatank, a kaljach ishas. Wasaksha, ye tu yati, achete haya, okay, natin. A joe ye dati yokshit an kakaten. Excuse me. Yako quantana de katsati. Tachet hadach tu ulchin. Ach, das kann gesan, es du kachetje kanne. Ja, die hat tut chati. Bilam zuachchi sashat. State zuachchi sashat. Sie laska zuachchi sashat. Ha ani kaya. Ha ani. Ja, je dat je wachtet graag he. Dat je tegen dat het graag is dat je kwaad is toe je tegen je geskoos katliek. Je kunt contact met de zeek. Goed, als dat het dus een katliek het gaat dat je dat was. Goed, het aangeet je katanke. Als je dat dus een kweeg. Ohan got a take, I got to knock. Yak to rush at that. You can put it down. Sing gitch. Usiku. Ya to the tooth, eh? Hark on the woost. Go so, history. A history, eh? Yado. Ha sing get a ye. Go so, ye. Cook cock, eh? Kasnik siawa, chakute da ach kachiti ya ye history. To ya church katusnik Bible kach. Wush kwana da ach an du tin. Ha ay kutlek ate. Hasi ay yakute. Ha yu katange. Ye ayak to as guyin kachanike. Yala. The one I put it in. Our history. You've been asking us, where is your history? This is our history. We never changed nothing. We still had it. You white people been changing what you got in front of you. Every time you change. Us think it, we don't change. We have it for 200 years, that our land. It's hard. For us to note, myself, I didn't go to school. I can't read. So, if I made a mistake, so I brought my lawyer with me. I love to work with you people. Anything, I didn't put it on the paper. I love to do things that I could learn from you and you could learn from us. Who come? All what I don't put it on, that's the reason why I'm talking to you. Like Satka, they came. And Goon, they didn't come. But from the flood, we know the history of our land. In Chalkut, we had it on a mountain, two men standing there. Pretty soon you will see they'll fix it for me. And Sutka, they call Kaneshya. That's a cross on the mountain. And Goon, there is a fort there. They build it up all the way up ahead of the flood. They are right to talk about this. Whoever come to talk a subsistence, they know what they're talking about. So I'll put this in ahead of you to know what we have to do. I'm sorry I had this cold. You got to put that up and put this one up. The reason why I brought it over and I don't put this one on that paper, how far we know this our shaman, it came from Point Shaman. That's where our fish line is. We're fishing up, but now they move it down. This is our shaman. First, he tried it to get the power. But some people, I myself, I done a lot of mistakes. This is what he did first when he tried it. He didn't have it. But when he get back to the village, the little boy was sick. So they call on the man, come on, cure our son. So he came. But when he come around, the people, the older people sitting there like that, what you, the way you sitting, and they see he don't have the power. He don't have it. So the people said, it's not in him. It's outside. This is what we call the key. So that he have to walk out. And he went to Point Shaman by himself. When he got out, and the bird he see flying, he didn't grab the bird. Just here, you're going to be mine. Anything what he say, you're going to be mine. Anything what's running, you're going to be mine. Just like he's put it in a bag. This is the reason why we call Na, Tuchji. Na means the people sitting here, Tuchji. If all of you stand on your feet, our shaman is going to be strong. They're fighting each other a lot of times, and they talk to each other before the long distance you have. They know what's going on down there from way up in Haines. This is what I want to show you, how we learn from my grandfather, Jim David and Joe Whiskers. And the other one, I didn't bring it, about 4 miles. A lot of people thinking, we are just trying to grab. We not. We had it because we lived there. All the way, I can mention, from 19 mile up above there is 20 mile, where that's where we used to fish. Up that way, it's below Setakwan. Takwan, it's an old village, Chatakdakan. But the white people make it a little easy, Takwan. But I think it way, skud, and that's another word, skud. Anything, the tide coming in, it's just like it's coming out, it's floods there. This is what we call skud. That's how we call chilkud. That white man call it easy, chilkud, skud. This is the real name. So, all this thing I want to show you because the other one's going to talk about subsistence. I think it knows better. You folks just learning. You go sample something. You take the scale out. But our people knows how to handle fish. I thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I have three names of people who would wish to speak. Nelson Frank, Sid Smith, and Dan Gross. You might just hand the mic over, Woody, to...
Thank you. My name is Nelson Frank. I'm representing 2,000 people in Sitka. I'm on the Tribal Council. I wanted to make a brief statement on subsistence. We were asked to make comments on the three papers that were presented yesterday. Unfortunately, the non-participants in this roundtable discussion beat me to the stack, so I have no comments for the paper other than the fact that I would like to comment on the dances that were presented, and accordingly, I dressed down for the occasion. Yesterday, I had a mohair jacket on that obviously came from Saudi Arabia, and my shirt and tie were from Paris. Subsistence living, a marginal way of life for most, has no such connotation to the native people of Southeast Alaska. The relationship between the native population and the resource of the land and sea is so close that an entire culture is reflected. The traditional law, the ethno-legal structure which allows the native nations of Southeast Alaska to coexist in relative harmony down through the centuries, was passed from generation to generation intact through the repetition of legends and observance of ceremonials which were largely concerned with the use of land, water, and resources contained therein. You just heard Mr. Hammond. Subsistence living was not only a way of life, also a life-enriching process. Conservation and perpetuation of subsistence resources was part of the way of life and was mandated by the traditional law and customs. Although there has been inroads in the traditional way of life by a cash economy and by cultural dilution, the basic relationship of the Southeast Alaska Native population to subsistence resources remains unchanged. In recognition of this relationship, and in a containing effort toward the preservation of our cultural values, as well as meeting nutritional needs of the members, the Sitka Community Association, or the Indian Tribe, sponsors subsistence gathering and subsistence preserving projects and activities. As you heard, over the past 2 days, we've been classed as urban, and this is how we urban people continue our food gathering and processing. We wrote a paper on food the native way. During the past year, the food and native way was directly benefited at least 200 tribal members and children in numerous ways, including training in recognition of the preparation of wholesome and nutritious traditional foods. We have a preceptorship where gentlemen like Austin pass down through the training effort that sets aside the food gathering process and the reasons why. We have a learning process that continues on from the very young to the very old. This association between the parents and the traditional people is a personally rewarding experience. We have several other areas that we like to lay claim to. We like to say that in our effort to gather our food, we sit down and tell them the reason why. We tell in stories and song the reasoning behind the gathering and taking of the food. We built a tribal smokehouse in Sitka. As you heard in previous testimony, you found that the systematic destruction and burning of our smokehouses. This one is right on tribal trust property. We find that this project prepares and distributes to the frail, the elderly, to the widowed, and to the needy tribal members. We distribute smoked fish, dried fish, salt, and canned subsistence foods. In addition to the food values realized, the subsistence eligible beneficiaries are transported to gathering sites by our staff. And we participate in gathering activities to the extent of their physical abilities. A portion of the realized food so gathered is the focal point of traditional social gatherings and ceremonies, which are full of our value. In 1984, with the help of the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Sisterhood, and with the cooperation of the OO, or the Senior Citizen Center, three traditional potlatch-type socials were held. These benefited 250 people. Subsistence gathering was discussed and carried on. An additional 180 persons meeting poverty criteria were given processed traditional foods through this program. Half of these were elderly and very poor people. We also went to the point of sport hunting and fishing for subsistence. The tribe, through tribal staff and volunteers, make sport fishing and hunting trips available to tribal members who cannot engage in these activities because of economic or physical reasons. We have a computerized list of all of our talents, and we utilize that computer bank to help those needy people. A total of 45 such subsistence gathering efforts were made in 1984, benefiting 158 people. Subsistence resources realized include salmon, bottom fish, shellfish, seaweed, herring, herring roe, berries, squid, octopus, and subsistence plants. This effort is handicapped because of the absence of subsistence provisions for resources as marine mammals, deer, and other land animals, the silver salmon and the king salmon. We are asking the Commission for a roundtable consideration of the following issues which are affecting subsistence use gathering of our resources in a negative way: the advisory boards, the local and regional. How are these boards specifically tied into enforcement of subsistence priority, or ANILCA? Number two, the federal funding to administer the subsistence priority. How does the state allocate these funds? Number three, no subsistence provisions for deer hunting and silver salmon. We want to know why. And all of these subsistence food gathering activities are tribally sponsored. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to thank you, and I'd like you to consider those three areas.
Thank you, Mr. Frank. Perhaps before we leave the discussion, we might ask Steve Behnke to comment on those three issues raised by Mr. Frank. Could you do that now, Mr. Behnke?
If desired,
sure.
Be glad to. Mr. Frank's question about the advisory committee and regional council system, there really hasn't been much discussion in this group about those bodies, but those are the bodies that are recognized in ANILCA, required. The state is required under ANILCA 805 to have these bodies in existence as part of the requirement, the way that the state meets the subsistence provisions of ANILCA. to be in compliance with ANILCA. And the advisory committees are composed of individuals and local communities. The regional councils are composed of the chairman of local advisory committees. The state sees both those bodies as the one fundamental way to get proposals for regulatory change to accommodate subsistence uses before the boards of fisheries and board of game. On your second question about federal funding, ANILCA also specified that if the state met these provisions, the state would be reimbursed up to $5 million a year for its activities related to support for the advisory committee and regional council system, and also for technical support to the advisory committees and regional councils. And the way that the state has provided those has been through the board, the division of boards within the Department of Fish and Game, which provides staff and also travel funds for the advisory committees and regional councils. Also, a portion of those funds go to the Division of Subsistence for the research that it conducts and for the staff that it provides. Those staff